Please open your Bibles to Ephesians. We'll be reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Praise our Lord that we can worship him and listen to his words together here today. Today, I'm going to talk about Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. You may be wondering, why are we only talking about two verses today? And these two verses are the greetings from Paul to Ephesians church. So why are we only talking about two verses today? What I'm going to tell you is, even this is only two verses, even this is only the greeting from Paul to Ephesian church, but these two verses are also the God's words. They were also written down in the Holy Spirit by Paul. So they are also very important message over here. Today I'm going to talk about three very important things in these two verses. This is very important things. These are crucial things we should not forget. However, it is very easy for us to forget these three crucial things. What are they? We are going to talk about one by one. First of all, according to the Bible, Paul said, he is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He said, the reason he wrote this letter to Ephesian church is because of the will of God. What does that mean? That means the reason he wrote this letter to Ephesian church is not because of his own will. It's not because of his good relationship with the Ephesian church. It's not because of his own will. It's not because of his own favoritism. As we know, the Ephesian church was created by Paul. And Paul was pastoring the church over there for 3 years. So we can know he must have a very good relationship with people in Ephesian church. But this is not the reason why he wrote this letter to the Ephesian church. The reason he wrote this letter to the church is because of God's will. In the Bible, Paul called him apostle of Christ Jesus. What does apostle mean? During that time, the apostle means delegate, means messengers. As a delegate or as a messenger, you have to say what people ask you to say. You should not say what you want to say. So Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he is the delegate or message of Jesus Christ. So he has to say what Jesus Christ asked him to say. And he needed to say what Jesus Christ asked him to say by the will of God. So what he's going to say is from the will of God. So by saying that, he reminded the Ephesian church, what he is going to say is very important. Why? Because that is from the will of God. What he is going to say is required by Jesus Christ. So why Paul need to mention that? Because when he was going to say, or when we need to decide what to say, what to do, we need to think, is this from God's will, or is this from your own will, or is this from your own favoritism, or is it from your tradition? So this is first very important things. First crucial things we should not forget, to start with God's will. So that's the first very important point. We need to start with God's will. Why is that so important to start from God's will? As a Christian, we all want to please our God. We all want what we are saying and what we are doing meets God's will. How can we please God? We need to know God's will. We need to say, and we need to do from God's will. So that's why it is so important to start with God's will. This is especially important for pastors, for church leaders. Why? Because as pastors, as church leaders, we need to lead the church ministry. We need to decide what to do in our church ministry. So your own will, your own favoritism, your tradition could affect the ministry a lot. So we have to start with God's will. In our own life, in our family, in our church, in our work, we may face lots of troubles. We may face lots of problems. And some of the problems, some of the troubles are caused by yourself because you don't want to start from God's will. Because you like to start from your own tradition, from your own will, and from your own favoritism. So we all need to think, are you really willing to start from God's will? Some people ask me one question, not only one person, a few people at a different time. Probably you also have this kind of question. What is the question? The question is, how can we know this is God's will or not? Do you guys have these questions? I guess a lot of people have this question. How can we know it's God's will or not? To be honestly, it's not easy to answer this question. The reason I say it's not easy to answer the question is not because we don't have a Bible to tell us. It's because in some special case, we need to know what's going on. We need to know the background. Then we can try to figure out is God's will or not. But what I try to tell you today over here is, how can we know is God's will or not? It's an important question, but it's not that important question. The most important question, before you answer, is this God's will or not? You need to ask yourself, are you really willing to do according to God's will? This Bible telling us, if we are really willing to do according to God's will, you would be able to know it is God's will or not. So the most important question we need to ask ourselves is, are you really willing to do according to God's will? It means, are you really willing to start from God's will? Starting from God's will is very important. In many cases, we ask the question, is this God's will or not? It's not because we don't know it's God's will or not. It's because we don't want to start with God's will. There's one youth Sunday school class. During the Sunday school class, the teacher was talking about God's will. And then somebody asked the teacher, "Teacher, how can we know is this God's will or not?" And then teacher asked the student to talk about that. Then everybody was talking, how can we know God's will? But seems this is too difficult for kids. So they don't have a very clear answer. And then finally, one kid stand up, telling the teacher and the students. He said, "Teacher, I know what is God's will." And the teacher asked him, "Okay, you know, so then tell us, how can you know what is God's will?" He said, "Whatever I don't like to do is God's will." Teacher asked him, "Why?" He said, "I don't like to read the Bible, but to read the Bible is God's will. I don't like to pray, but I know pray is God's will. I don't like to listen to my parents, but Bible tells us we need to listen to our parents." You know, for kids, they know what is God's will. But the question is not, how can we know God's will? The question is, are you really willing to do according to God's will? So, to do according to God's will, to start from God's will, is a very crucial thing. We should not forget. This is the first point from the Bible here, to start with God's will. Let's talk about the second point. Paul called people in Ephesians church the saints. What does saint mean? Saint means the holy people, holy person who was chosen, who was separated from other people to belong to God. So his saint is a holy person who was chosen and separated from other people to belong to God. And Paul also calls them the faithful in Christ Jesus. What does faithful mean? In Greek, faithful is the same word as faith, belief, trustworthy, but with different formats. So to be faithful, to be a faithful person, you need to have a very solid faith on the person you are following, no matter what happens. So that's called faithful. So Paul called people in Ephesian church saint, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So the faithful in Christ Jesus means you have a very solid faith on Christ Jesus. No matter what happened, you are not going to change. You are still going to have a solid faith on him. You are still going to follow him. That is called faithful in Christ Jesus. So why Paul called people in Ephesian church the faithful saint in Christ Jesus? Why he called them that? He reminded them your identity in Ephesian church is the faithful saint in Christ Jesus. This identity, this calling is very noble, is very important to the people in Ephesians church. He reminds them, don't forget, your identity is a faithful saint in Christ Jesus. You need to have a solid faith on Christ Jesus. You need to follow Christ Jesus no matter what happened. So he reminds them their identity. Today, as a Christian over here, we are all a faithful saint in Christ Jesus. This is our very noble, very important calling and identity. But sometimes it is easy for us to forget we are the faithful saint in Christ Jesus. So this is the second very important, second crucial thing we should not forget. To be a faithful saint. Every Sunday we came to the church. Do you think when you come to the church, what is your identity? You may say, the reason I come to the church today is because I am the choir member. Because I'm the person who need to operate the AV room. Or maybe you say the reason today I come to the church is because I'm the usher. Because I need to read the Bible over here. Yes, you're right. However, the most important identity you came to the church is because you are a faithful saint. So that's why when you come to the church as a choir member, after you finish the praising, finish the singing, you have to stay here to listen to the sermon. You have to stay here to go to Sunday school class because you are a faithful saint in Christ Jesus. You need to listen to sermon. You need to go to Sunday school class to learn Bible. Because you are a person who is operating the AV room, but in the meantime, you are also a faithful saint. So when you are operating AV system, you also need to count how many people come to the church today. I know it is not easy to clearly count all of the people, especially if you have 100 people or 150 people. It's not that easy to count. But because you are a faithful saint, you should not say, okay, I just get a very rough number. Or maybe wish next week we only have 10 people, so then I can easily count how many people to come. You should not do that. Why? Because you are not only the person who are operating the system, who are counting the number of the head. First, you are the faithful saint. So we all have this very noble and very important identity, a faithful saint. So we should not confuse this important identity with other things. We all know it is important to have a very good reputation. Everybody wants to have a very good reputation. So it is important. However, it is not that important compared to be a faithful saint. If you want to have a very good reputation, maybe you need to do something everybody can see. Then they can say, hey, you did a very good job, you did lots of things, we all see it, so you will have a very good reputation. But a lot of things people may not be able to see. No matter how you do, they will not give you a good reputation. Why? Because nobody knows. But because you are a faithful saint, even it will not bring you a good reputation, even nobody will be able to see, you still need to do it. Somebody may know we have a cabinet outside of the window. And there are signs inside that cabinet. Do you guys know who changed that? That sign inside the cabinet out of the window was changed regularly, but almost nobody knows. I know. It's not me, it's somebody else. I know who did. They changed that sign regularly. Nobody knows. But they did it very faithfully. Why? They are not going to collect a good reputation by doing that. The reason they have been doing that is because they know they have to be a faithful saint in Christ Jesus. So to be a faithful saint is very important to everybody. A faithful saint is a very noble and a very important calling and identity as Christians. Not only in the church, not only as a Christian, to be faithful is important. Even in our working, in a school, it is also very important to be faithful. Some of us over here are working in the company. As an employee, to be faithful is also very important. I'm going to tell you a story why to be faithful is that important. And if you can be faithful even in your company as an employee, one day God will bless you. In 1998, in Hong Kong government, they want to hire a person to be a group leader. And about 40 people came to have the writing testing. They want to select the best person based on the writing test to go to the interview. So 40 people went to the writing test. Mr. Choi also went to the test. Mr. Choi got a lot of experience, and he spent a lot of time to prepare the writing test. So at the beginning of the test, he was writing very well. However, the last question was too difficult to him. But the last question is very important. Why? Because the last question is 20%. So totally is 100 points. Last question is 20 points. If you don't know to answer the last question, then probably you will not have a chance. But Mr. Choi really did not know how to answer the last question. So what is the question? The question is, over 1400 years ago, in China, the king Li Zimin, what did he do to protect the environment? So the question is ask people to write down, what did the king do to protect the environment? And also need to mention why what he did is reasonable. But Mr. Choi cannot recall anything about what the king did to protect the environment. He did not know anything about that. So he was thinking, what can he do? And when it is time to finish, he just write down on the paper saying, I really don't know what the king did. Sorry, I don't have any answer. That's it. 2 weeks later, the result come out. He got the highest points for the test. And he is the only one chosen to go to the interview. Why? Because he got he got 20 points for the last question. And he's the only person who got 20 points for the last question. Why? Because over 1400 years ago, nobody did anything to protect the environment. So his answer is right. Unfortunately, other 39 people wrote down a lot saying the king did this, did this, did this, and why this is reasonable. So we can know those 39 people, they did not know the answer. They just pretending they know and write down a lot of things. So to be faithful is very important as an employee. To be faithful is even more important as a Christian. So let's all remind each other, we are a faithful saint in Christ Jesus. This is very important second thing we should not forget. This come to third point. In verse number 2, Paul said, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." We need to know why Paul wrote verse number 2 over here. Verse number 1, we understand, because he needed to tell Ephesian church who is writing to you, at least. But why he needed to say the verse number 2? Today, it is very easy for us to send a greeting to our friend, right? We can send a phone text message. We can send we can make a phone call. We can send an email. We can use WeChat. We can use Facebook to write a greeting to people very easily. 5 seconds, 10 seconds is enough. And it's very easy to deliver your greeting to your friend, because we all have Wi-Fi. It's very easy. But during Paul's time, it's very difficult to write down greeting. And it is also very difficult to deliver your greeting to other people. Why? Because during that time, they did not have a computer, cell phone. They did not have a Wi-Fi. They have to write down their greeting on the paper. But it's not this kind of paper. It's kind of animal skin. So they have to write down what they want to say to their friend on the kind of animal skin. So it's not easy to write down. And it is very expensive to do that. And also, it's very difficult to deliver this kind of stuff to other people. So we can imagine, when they try to write down what they are going to say, they only write down those is very important to them. Today, because it's too easy to write down, too easy to send the greeting to people, so sometimes we just write down whatever we want. And every day, we receive lots of greetings. We receive lots of messages. Sometimes we probably just threw away. Why? Because it's too easy to do it. We don't think it is that important. But at that time, it's very difficult to do that. So they only wrote down, they only deliver very important information to other people. So verse number 2, of course, is a very important message Paul wants to tell Ephesian church. He said over here, "Grace and peace to you." So according to Paul, he must think to Ephesian church, to you guys, to have grace and peace is most important. So this is the third close thing we should not forget, to have grace and peace. What we should have as Christian? We should have a very, very good car. We should have a very big house. We should have a very good job with very high salary. What is the most important that we need to have? The most important that we need to have is the peace and the grace from God and Christ Jesus. What does grace mean? Grace means what is good for you, given by God based on your faith. And you don't need to pay anything on that. What does peace mean? Peace doesn't mean no war, doesn't mean no car accident, doesn't mean no illness. Peace means the quietness and the trust in your heart. As a Christian, what we need to have is peace and grace. And this is the most important things we need to have. But sometimes we think peace and grace is not the most important, not the important things we need to have as Christians. We think being rich, being healthy, to have a very good social network is most important. I want to tell you, as Christian, to have grace and peace is the most important. It's what we need to have. What we need to have for the, as the most important is not the healthy, it's not being rich, it's not to have a very good social network. How can we have grace and peace? The Bible here tells us, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Christ Jesus. This peace and grace are only from God and Christ Jesus. This grace and peace are not from our family, are not from our education, are not from our professional job, are not from our social network, are not from the money we put in the bank. This grace and peace are from our Lord, from our Christ Jesus. This grace and peace are not even from very exciting sports game, or from very exciting music concert. Some time ago, one person asked me this question. He said, some music fans went to a music concert. When they meet with the music singer, they feel very exciting because they have been listening to the musician for a very long time. So today, the musician came to the city, so they want to go to that concert. And when they meet this musician, they feel very excited. So the question is, the person asked me, what is the difference between their happiness and the joy we call as a Christian? As a Christian, we are very joyful, we have a joy. So what is the difference between your joy and their happiness when they see their musicians? What is the difference? They are very happy, we are very happy too. What is the difference? The happiness when they meet their musician as a fan is the reaction, is the physical and emotional reaction. When they meet their musician, so that is physical and emotional reaction due to the outside excitement. However, our joy is not like that. Our joy is not physical or emotional reaction due to outside excitement. Why we have joy? The reason we have joy, the reason we have peace, is because we know our sins are forgiven by Jesus Christ. It's because we know God loves us. God protects us. One day, we are going to be with our Lord forever. This is our joy. Because we know this, so we have quietness, so we have trust, so we have joy. It's not because of the outside excitement. So how can we know the grace and the peace? We cannot have this kind of grace and peace by outside condition, by outside excitement. We can only have this peace and grace from God and Christ Jesus. So we need to know that. I want to remind everybody, for our life, we need money. We need a house. We need a car. But our joy is not from our money. It's not from our house. It's not from our BMW car. You may think when I'm very rich, I must be very joy. It's not. We know currently in the whole world, who is the richest? Bill Gates is the richest person. And do you know who is the richest person in mainland China? The richest person in mainland China, his name is Jack Ma. Back to 2 months ago, Jack Ma came to USA to visit lots of people. He also had a dinner with Bill Gates. During that dinner, Bill Gates told Jack Ma, the richest person in the whole world, told the richest person in China like this. He said, I think you are going to be the richest person in the whole world instead of me very quickly. So do you know what Jack Ma said after that? Jack Ma said like this. He said, in this world, lots of people are very rich. However, when you become the richest person in the whole world, then everybody around you are for your money. So we can imagine, when everybody around you are for your money, would you be able to have peace? Would you be have joy? No way. So our joy, our peace, our grace are from God, are from our Lord Jesus Christ, not from the outside condition, not from the outside excitement. So don't forget this as a Christian, to have peace and grace. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, only two verses. They are from the greeting from Paul to Ephesian church. But they are also God's word. Three very crucial things we should not forget based on these two verses. Number one, to start from God's will, not start from your own will, not start from your favoritism, not start your tradition. Second, to be a faithful saint. To be a faithful saint, we need to have a solid faith on Lord Jesus Christ and follow him no matter what happens. Third, to have grace and peace. As a Christian, we need to have grace and peace. And we can only have grace and peace from God, from our Lord Christ Jesus. So let's do not forget these three crucial things. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for choosing us to be your children. Please help us not to forget crucial things, to start from God's will, to be a faithful saint, to have grace and peace only from our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.